ready.
That's right. Fine.
Ladies and gentlemen, would you please rise to the podium? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
Matters in closed session related to pending litigation. We did discuss each of those items that are listed under pending litigation, but the board took no reportable action. We also discussed, pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9C, the potential for the board to initiate litigation. Under those categories, the board has not taken any formal action. Under personnel, we did discuss the two items pursuant to Government Code Section 54957, and that is a conference with labor negotiators. If there is time, we may return to that at the end of this meeting. And we also discussed the utility system manager's performance review pursuant to his employment contract. Under each of those items, however, the board took no reportable action. And one last thing, we did have one item at the last meeting that wasn't reported out, and that was one item of initiation of litigation that was discussed after the close of the regular meeting at our last meeting. And again, the board took no reportable action. That concludes my report.
Thank you, Mr. Seitz. The first item on the agenda tonight is general actions is action item A, draft the district response to the county's final EIR report for the Los Osos wastewater project and submit the comment to the county. And we'll start off with Mr. Cooney. Could you give a staff report?
They have directed the comments on the Los Osos wastewater project.
As directed, the comments to the Los Osos wastewater project have been prepared, and they're subject to comment this evening, and then they will be forwarded on to the County Planning Commission, who will be hearing this issue starting on the 23rd of this month. The staff report, which goes along with this, the county staff report, is over 390 pages. Most books I read aren't that long, so I didn't bother to read the whole thing. I just kind of skimmed through it. So anyway, this is up for comment this evening by the board and the general public. And I have a it's on the screen.
Okay, and is the letter on the screen?
Yes.
I'm sorry. Is the letter on the screen the same as what was in the original agenda packet and posted?
This is a revised one.
Okay.
It says revised.
So briefly, could you go through the differences between what was in the agenda packet and what is here?
No.
Okay. Asked and answered. Vice President Olilsky is volunteering to do so.
Thank you. After the original draft came out, district staff and received some additional comments, plus we had another meeting of the Emergency Services Advisory Committee. So there are some minor changes in here, and if I can just go through it, I will point out what they are. Under the affordability section, there was a concern raised, I think, at the Water Advisory Committee meeting that the language wasn't clear enough as to not adding on non-related expenditures or expenses to the project. So the very last sentence in the revised comments is slightly changed from the original draft. The last sentence now says the wastewater project must not be viewed as an opportunity to attach non-related costs to the wastewater project at the expense of property owners within the prohibition zone. So that language was clarified in the final draft. Under sustainability, in the last paragraph, tertiary treatment could make treated effluent available for a variety of beneficial uses and disposal opportunities, such as urban ag exchange or purple pipe programs. The original language had injection wells in there, but as we found out subsequent to the preparation of the letter, injection wells would require RO, adding a significant amount of cost to the initial project as well as maintenance and operational expenses. So the words injection wells was deleted. The letter still supports tertiary treatment. The entire section labeled wastewater treatment design flows was added. Just adding water usage data from 2004-2005 until the present, just to make sure that the capacity figures used for the waste treatment plant were based on the most current usage figures. Then under emergency services, this came out of a discussion we had at emergency services. The first bullet point was changed. The first sentence now reads, all roads in Los Osos that are impacted by construction of the wastewater project should be made all weather passable. So those are the only items that were changed. If anybody wants to see those in detail, I have them red line or pencil lined here. But the intent of the original letter stays the same. It was just some changes that came from those two subcommittee meetings.
Thank you, Marshall. Before I take public comment, any director questions for staff?
I have a comment about the sustainability paragraph in that last sentence on the first paragraph, I guess, top of the second page. Tertiary treatment will help the district and other water purveyors in the community by returning sufficient treated wastewater. Tertiary treatment by itself is not going to return the water. You can treat it to tertiary and send it up the valley. It seems to me that it's you might as well be saying, combining the next sentence, I would just think about maybe eliminating the last half of that sentence in the that I just read. Other water purveyors in the community by making treated effluent available for a variety of beneficial uses and disposal opportunities, such as urban, and kind of combine those two. Because, you know, you can treat it and not send it back.
That was not the intent.
Yeah, yeah.
Director Sennett. Okay, with that, we'll go ahead and take public comment.
Thank you, Mr. President, board members. My name is Jeff Edwards. I've read the district's comments to the draft environmental impact report and your letter attached to tonight's staff report. I've also provided some written comments relative to those two letters. Your comments on the draft environmental impact report, it's a three-page letter. And in my review of it, it really fails to raise any objections to the county's preferred alternative, which exports two-thirds of our water outside of our water basin on a daily basis. This equates to about an acre foot of district water every day. Call it 365 days per year, and you've got 365 acre feet per year. In this letter, regarding the draft EIR, there's virtually no mention of the lower basin and our concerns over recharging it. There's some reference to the upper basin and how you have plans to use that as some source of water. The lower basin is our most important basin. In contrast, your ISJ partner, the Golden State Water Company, in their response to the draft EIR, they have a 13-page letter with a detailed legal analysis about the lower basin and about the implications of the county's proposed project on your resources, or essentially their resources, which equate to your resources. Your current letter isn't a lot better in terms of raising significant questions about how our lower basin is going to survive this county project. There's reference to Purple Pipe. Purple Pipe, we don't know what the cost-benefit ratio is on that. Purple Pipe could be in the tens of millions of dollars. And we use 30% of our water in exterior water uses, and it probably will lower it with proper landscaping techniques. The ISJ is considered this panacea. Well, the ISJ is a temporary judgment. It's a settlement. That's non-binding, subject to 30-day termination provisions, 60-day, sorry. This isn't going to perform projects. If there is a project, you're going to be forced to buy the water back and from the county and implement a project. You're going to have to plan it, pay for the planning. You're going to have to permit it. permitted under Section 10, not Section 7, which a county project's going under, you're not going to get 1% 30-year financing. So where's your legal analysis about that? We talked about the ISJ. It's non-binding. Golden State can get out. You can get out. There appears to be an absence of critical thinking on the part of your board relative to this county project and its impact on our groundwater resources. I would ask you to focus on that. Don't be hoodwinked by the county, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Edwards.
Good evening. I am Julie Tacker. First, I'd like to touch on the edit that was made regarding injection wells. Injection wells were not analyzed as part of the project, and that was one of the criticisms that we heard over and over from very informed members of the TAC. And I would have to say that injection wells in the future of Los Osos is not out of the question, and that the district actually purchased properties that may be used for injection site in the future, but may be lost to the bankruptcy. And the critical thinking of this board. You were all elected as activists. You need to shed your support for the project coat and stand in the way of this very bad project, shipping our water outside our basin, whether it be to evaporate into the air or to send to farmers, is absurd. In 2006, the board at the time hired Mr. Ripley. Mr. Ripley worked tirelessly with farmers within our basin to educate and work with them to try to get some ag exchange inside our basin. The county has completely dropped that ball. Nothing has been done in the last 2.5 years on that premise, and now it appears conversations are going on with farmers outside the basin. This is a travesty, and I'd like to see this board stand up and get in the way of the project.
Thank you for your comments. The next speaker, please.
Frank Cilio, Los Osos. First, I'd like to address the part where in the introduction where you go, addressing the degradation of resources in Morro Bay estuary resulting from the existing septic system. I had... do you know where that is in the draft EIR? Because I had difficulty finding it when I did a search for that to see if the draft EIR had any information regarding the any type of pollution from the septic system. And so if you're going to put that in, I think you need to be able to address that, because I did the search, and I'll tell you about some of the other searches in a minute. The other issue that concerns me is that I think that I'd like to see this board support that it's a basin issue. It's not just a water purveyor issue, and that any cost above secondary treatment, which has been required by the water board, be placed on everybody who uses the basin. Now, you could ask, well, how are you going to pay for that? Well, the county has a vector control 218 coming on board. Why can't the county do a 218 for this district? For those in the basin, have a 218 vote to see about cleaning up the additional requirements past the water board that may be required by the Coastal Commission and the Planning Commission. So everybody pays for that. And I think that should be your support in this letter, that everybody pays who uses the basin. To give you some stats, you know, in the draft EIR, over 400 times the water board is quoted. In there, over 200 times seawater intrusions quoted, over 7 times overdraft is quoted. When I looked at the water board's EIR, they had 0 seawater intrusion mentioned or overdraft in their comments to the draft EIR, which I found kind of interesting. Now, talking about injection wells, I contacted Orange County and found out that they pay $650 per acre foot. They have a grant that gets it down to 550 acre feet. I gave Chuck a copy of that email. And that includes capital cost recouping in that. So it's not only O&M, it's the capital cost of the for that water for the acre foot. where it's going to cost $300 an acre foot to take care of the nitrates by Golden State. When you look at Morro Bay, it's $2,500 an acre foot for seawater that for them to use their plant. So when you look at the cost, that may be injection may be a viable. It's unfortunate that wasn't looked at. And just to look at other alternatives. But the most important is that everybody pays for whatever cost is needed. And make your stand very strong. And I'd like to see that in this report. Thank you.
Thank you. The next speaker, please. If there's no additional speakers, we'll... go ahead.
I haven't finished writing it, but I'll go ahead and speak anyway. Don Bearden, Los Osos. The Los Osos CSD was incapable of completing a project before, and they don't have the wherewithal to do it now. They shouldn't even be taught, you shouldn't even be sending letters to the county to tell them what to do, since we didn't know what we were doing to begin with. Some people have suggested that we need to get in the way of the project. I don't think we need to get in the way of the project. I think that we need to get out of the way and let the county finish the project like they've got it going. I preferred a vacuum collection system with the ponds outside of town. I'm not going to get what I preferred. We're going to get a gravity system, and we're going to get it at Tonini,
which is shared by all the communities around. And unfortunately, although the last speaker is in love with the county and thinks it can do no wrong, the county's done a lot of wrong, one of which is not to look at this as a project that should be addressing the needs of the entire basin, because you can't play piece by piece. And some of this thing, particularly when you're talking about paving roads, hey, come on, gang. When's the last time you saw a county paving operation in this district? Doesn't happen. Reason it doesn't happen is, well, they're going to dig up for the sewer. The problems of roads and the problems of having the fire trucks be able to move from place to place in expeditious manner is a problem of the entire community, not the people, only the people who live in the Prohibition Zone. And this paper, in great extent, gives fuel to those folks who think, why should I bother? Why should I care? It's not going to impact on me. Well, it will. It will impact on you. And what we do about the roads and how we treat will impact the entire community. So I'm disappointed, to say the least. And I think that you folks could have taken a stronger position and looked at this from the standpoint of what would not only help our community, but would help Morro Bay, help Cayucas, help the prison up one, help Cuesta College, all of whom are contributing to the problem out in the bay. Anyway, thank you.
Thank you for your comments.
Good evening. My name is Gwen Taylor. I'm a resident of Los Osos, also a resident of the Prohibition Zone. There are letters being sent out to people in the Prohibition Zone that are 62 years of age or older. I'm going to read directly from the letter, and I have a copy of the letter for Mr. Seitz or for Mrs. Vega. But it says here, private resident property owners within the Prohibition Zone will be impacted by assessments levied for the construction of the Los Osos wastewater facility. 39% are over the age of 62 and may qualify for FHA reverse mortgage financing. Gwen Taylor, Technical Advisory Committee, San Luis Obispo County Department of Public Works, Those borrowers with current FHA reverse mortgages may also rewrite their loans with the higher lending limits if they qualify by contacting, and it gives the numbers below. And they are reverse mortgage division. I am not the Gwen Taylor that is mentioned here. My name is not spelled that way. I have never been on any kind of a committee financing one way or another, public works, or anything to do with the county. I abhor the idea of anyone going out who is older than 62 years of age and trying to get a reverse mortgage. They do not know what the implications are, what the financial costs are, and if there is anyone who has received one of these letters, they should take it and make sure that they have very good advice as to what they are getting themselves into, it because it is very, very costly. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. The next speaker, please.
Thank you. Richard Margetson. The affordability paragraph, I think there's a little bit of inconsistency with the last paragraph of the emergency services section. Let me read what I'm concerned about. Under the affordability, the wastewater project must not be viewed as an opportunity to attach non-related costs to the wastewater project at the expense of property owners within the prohibition zone. And then the last paragraph of under emergency services, if these measures are implemented as part of the construction of the collection system, there should be little additional cost. Maybe using a different phrase there, because I was missing what I'm talking about. Okay, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Martha Golden. There's been some comment this evening about the board not taking a strong position with respect to the project. I would like to point out to the members of the board that you represent the entire community of Los Osos. And while the project and the report and your letter addresses those things that appear to affect only the people in the prohibition zone, that is not true. As representatives of the entire district, may I remind you that the upper and lower aquifers supply the water for all of Los Osos, not just for the prohibition zone. May I remind you that when the 1,200 acre feet per year of prohibition zone septics come offline and are no longer feeding the trees, Sweet Springs, the stream, our aquifers, polluted or not polluted, a highly disputed question, they will be gone and not feeding those for all of us in Los Osos, not just for the people in the prohibition zone. So you have a responsibility to all of us to be sure that this project does not exacerbate, and indeed that it improves, the water situation in Los Osos. Your comments are minimal in that regard. There are so many things wrong with the proposals, so wasteful in terms of our water. We can have all the tertiary treatment in the world, but if you can treat the heck out of one drop of water, you still can't distribute it to all the people in Los Osos. And if that's all we've got left, There won't be any water for any of us. So please improve your comments. There's lots of things that this letter needs. That's just the one thing that I wanted to point out to you, the fact that there is absolutely nothing green about the project, yet today's paper talks about what kind of money is going to come to the state of California, and it is clear that with respect to water and wastewater, green may get water, may get money, and we in Los Osos, for our project, are going to get zero the way it is currently designed, yet not one word in your letter about the horrible carbon-consuming and spewing forth of energy that this project, as currently designed by the county, represents.
Thank you. Any additional speakers, please? Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board. So I guess what I'd like to do is, if there's no objection, we can go through each of the sections and see if there's additional comments or attack we want to take, and then get some consensus on that. Before we start, I've got the old version here. I had via email the new version, and now I have it. Thanks. And Mr. Cooney, could we get it up on the screen again? We lost it. Went to that. Thanks. And so I guess what I'd like to do is, first of all, I guess are there any give from public comment? Are there any comments by the directors in general first, or do you just want to go ahead and proceed and go through the different sections? Vice President Ohilski.
I have some answers to some questions, but I think I can go through those as we go through the document rather than doing them now.
Okay. All right. Let's go ahead and do that. So I guess we could start with the introduction.
Yeah, I did have I can answer Frank's question regarding where that language came from. In that second or the first paragraph of the introduction, that language came from the previous project approval by the Coastal Commission, and it comes from the Coastal Commission letter on this project.
I still don't see why we couldn't put a period after groundwater issues in Los Osos. I think that would, why even invite debate over the degree of pollution in the bay from the septic tanks?
I would have no problem with that personally.
I'm not really sure what we're doing on this.
I think the proposal here is that it will state the district is supportive of a project.
And then add, and the cost of those features requiring treatment above the requirements of the Regional Water Quality Control Board should be borne by all users of the groundwater basin.
What are the requirements of the Regional Water Quality Control Board?
Discharge of 10 milligrams per liter of nitrogen. I believe that was what we were working under at the last go-round.
Seven.
10 for drinking water. Yeah.
I guess, I appreciate that comment, Director Cicina. From my perspective, it becomes that age-old catch-22 type of... If we fill the project above a certain level should be paid for elsewhere, then it puts a condition for financing on the project that potentially cannot be approved. And I think everybody has that sentiment. I think everybody at the board and the community has that sentiment, but the premise of the project is the discharge prohibition by the regional board. And, hearing a lot of comments again, we almost have to go and fight that premise to do some of these things. And so while I agree with that sentiment, I just don't know where it leads us. At some point we have to approve and accept that we are going to have the project and that conditions imposed by Coastal are going to be part of it, and that's what has to be implemented.
I understand what you're saying, too. I want to just, this letter is to the Planning Commission. One of the things I would like to see this board maybe take action on, I would like this board to take action on is to also then write a letter to each and every single permitting agency with the same information that to be careful of how they attach things to this project, even though we're mandated by regional board. Do you kind of see where I'm going, Chuck? That this project not be used as a vehicle.
Well, that's what I'm after.
So, right, and I understand. So maybe another letter to regional board, but I'm not sure if this was it would be the best place to address that issue.
Why not start here and take it, as you suggest, to the other agencies also? I mean, chances are we're not going to be listened to no matter what we say. But I think we need to go on record as saying that it's unfair that the prohibition zone be asked to provide for more than required by the Regional Water Quality Control Board. I mean, that's the reason why we're undertaking a project, the Water Board's discharge requirements.
No, I understand what you're saying. That goes then back. How does this fit in, then, your comments? How do they fit in with, then, that the ISJ process? Is this in addition to, instead of, or your understanding of that process? Is this the best place to put that? I guess I haven't totally heard that it is.
Since I agree with your sentiment, maybe it's the way we structure it here. You propose it as at the end of that next to last sentence, but we follow that by saying the wastewater project must not be viewed as an opportunity to attach non-related costs to the wastewater project at the expense of property owners within the prohibition zone. And then say, and the cost of features or mitigation measures. I mean, maybe we can strengthen up the following sentence.
Well, I think that, personally, that adding it to the sentence before is correct. I think the language is more complicated than it needs to be. I think we could just say any cost above the minute to attain something above the minimum, requirements from regional water quality. I think we just,
Well, it's not right. Maybe I read it too fast again.
You did, because I don't
it's
have
not
it down
really
yet.
Very complex. Okay, one
you
more
do
time.
It slower this time.
Very slow. Okay. After any conditions and mitigation measures must be specific to impacts created by the project and the cost of those features requiring treatment.
Requiring?
The Coastal Commission. Requiring tertiary treatment.
I got it. Okay, requiring.
Requiring treatment. Treatment above the requirements. Maybe that's the problem, is I've used required twice in the same sentence. Okay. Those features mandating treatment above the requirements of the Regional Water Quality Control Board should be borne by all users of the groundwater basin.
I like that better.
Yeah. The same word shouldn't be used twice in the same sentence. That's fine.
I think adding it there is fine. I'm still not comfortable with the language of, the mandating, requiring thing. So, we're talking about...
A project paid for by the prohibition zone should necessarily pay for the HCP for the county's development. So I would say that we should add to that the... associated costs that we do not consider the HCP as a obligation or a burden that the project should have to pay for or develop for future development that might be induced by the project.
I would agree with you on that one, but I think the Planning Commission is not going to make that a requirement. That's going to come from Coastal Commission. So I think if we do letters to the various agencies, that has to go to Coastal Commission and Fish and Wildlife. Planning Commission, that's not in the staff report. So I don't think that's an issue we need to deal with here.
Okay,
but,
well, we should keep that on the radar.
But that's exactly...
And that's the kind of stuff we're trying to avoid.
That's the part of the discussion where then we go back and we look and find out where those things were tagged on that were potentially problematic and address those directly with the agencies as they were identifying them when they were giving the permits.
Okay.
And I think that would be appropriate for us to pursue that.
Okay, let me try some language here. If we made the sentence read, any conditions and mitigation measures must be specific to impacts created by the project, and the cost of any features above the minimum requirements of the Regional Water Quality Control Board shall be borne by all users of the groundwater basin.
Bingo.
Or should be borne. I guess we can't say shall, but should. So I think that I would agree to that.
I can't even read my writing.
With that change, I think I'd be fine with the affordability paragraph then.
Okay, let's go to the sustainability portion.
I think Chuck's comment about combining the last two sentences makes a lot of sense. So if I understand correctly, it would say tertiary treatment will help the district and other water purveyors in the community by returning sufficient treated wastewater to the basin for a variety of beneficial uses and disposal opportunities such as urban ag exchange or purple pipe programs. Is that correct? No? Yes? So I would be fine with that change.
I'd like to add also, or at least for consideration, the notion that we're sending our water out there never to return and evaporate out there, I think I don't see that as a realistic, sustainable disposal option. And I don't think it's one that the county is considering long term. I think it's everyone's intent. Is this on? It's everybody's intent to use the water to the maximum extent possible to the benefit of the water basin and all the users, and even beyond our water basin if we have in-lieu recharge. I think a positive statement that we fully expect the county to pursue innovative options for, and we can list ag reuse, in-lieu recharge, developing a program to enlist the cooperation and of the growers in the area. I think that's a positive statement we can make, and it sends a message that it's our expectation. And I'm sure it's consistent with what they're planning. In everything I see, I'd like some statement as to a positive expectation that we pursue some of the specific things that were in the Ripley project report, and I think that I'd like to see it.
Okay. Mr. Seitz, do you have a comment?
Yeah, I was thinking about the same issue. I drafted some language just for your consideration. I don't know if it's just as a starter. And I get a little wordy and get a little advocacy in my voice, so excuse that. But to ensure adequate to ensure adequate water resources to district water customers who are county residents who constructed their residence consistent with county planning requirements, the project must be to get the overlying users over the groundwater basin should be given a priority. So it sort of addresses what Chuck was saying, that it should not be going up the valley. It should be used within the groundwater basin.
And I think that's consistent with what I have a memo that I pulled out of my bag from Director of Public Works to the RAC for the meeting that was held in the beginning of April. And one of the it does say specifically that the intent is to a portion of it would go to the environment, portion of it to ag, and the bulk of it as subject to and except as otherwise by modified by the through the adjudication process by the San Luis Obispo Superior Court. I mean, that supports. Does that make sense? Does that help?
Vice President O'Hilsky.
That's consistent.
I had written a less wordy version. actually, I was thinking about two changes based on Steve's comments. First of all, after district is concerned about any potential removal of water from the groundwater basin, adding language to say the wastewater project must return The wastewater project must return water taken from the basin to the basin at the maximum extent possible. Because the 10% bothers me because we're just picking a number out of thin air, it seems like. But if we say that they have to return water to the maximum extent possible, and then I would propose a sentence after that paragraph to say, other innovative opportunities for reuse, such as blah, 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 should be pursued. Now, the blah, 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 or should be considered,
considered
in the project approval. I think that's a good way to be.
I like most of what you said, but I kind of like the no more than 10% because the maximum extent feasible is a wedge you can drive a truck through at times, depending upon who decides what feasible is. So if you say no more than 10%, you've got a cap on that. You're not going to be able to go above that. You've got some finite limits there.
I agree. I think when we look at the DEIR, we see Broderson as mitigation for the loss of recharge from septic, and then we see water conservation. So now we have 10%, and so the benefit of water conservation is lost. So, I mean,
that's reasonable.
I'm sorry. So I don't know. I would like to see 1%. I'm willing to live with maybe. But, I guess we do want to limit it because I agree with you.
We want to ensure that the bulk of whatever comes back to the community as much as possible. So you do want to limit. I agree. I think 10% and 10% is totally appropriate.
I don't think we have the ability here to quantify it, but I know. When you look at the DIR and you look at the project as described, Broderson mitigates for the loss of septic returns, and then water conservation. And that 10%, I don't know offhand if it's going to wipe it out. So that's basically we're back again to square zero. So, it should be something that doesn't even come close to affecting what we gain from the water conservation portion. Director Sennett.
Well, maybe we could capture this this goal with a statement that the return of the water to this groundwater basin compartment shall take priority over any other use. And that way, because at times there's going to be a lull when if the project goes online, there's going to be a disposal issue. And it's not a question of reuse. It's not a question of purple pipe. It's just the means to reuse it have not been instituted, and there's a need to dispose. If the disposal can be accomplished to the benefit of the farmers, that take advantage of it if we're not going to use it. But there's going to be a time when we can't use it all. We still have to determine the absorption rate of Broderson. We don't know how much that's going to take, and therefore, how can you determine how much we'll need, how much we'll be able to take back in the return flows?
I would rather encourage exchange with the farmers than disposal with the farmers. That's why I want the language as strong as possible. I guess I'm just...
And 10% environment or 10% total?
Where did that 10% came from somewhere besides... The first time I've heard it tonight.
No, it's come up. I've heard it discussed at Board of Supervisors. Come up at RAC.
It's a number that the county is using... Right. In response, what I haven't read all the response letters, but I know that the environmental community is insistent on some water as a result of this project. And I don't think, from what I've understand, that there's a big heartburn about that, because the environmental concerns are probably the estuary and the marshland, or the that is out there will require some of that water. As to the ag exchange, or as to the ag water, you know, the positions that we have taken with the county, at least I have taken with the county, is that if there is an ag mitigation measure that's required, that mitigation water should be used over the groundwater basin and no other place. So at least we get the return flows from the ag use back into the groundwater basin.
I think that using 10% for each would be more appropriate, quite frankly, rather than 10% total, because that's my recollection of the process.
With the 10% related to ag being used within our compartment,
correct,
our basin,
right?
Yeah. Okay. Well, yes,
all of it being returned.
Okay.
Is where I'm hearing the discussions going, is all of it being returned.
But
10% being dedicated for
as
ag.
Long as we have some sort of qualifier allowing for the startup period. I mean, that's my concern.
Okay, Karen, make sense of that.
Well, you know, since this isn't a resolution, we don't
true.
Have to have the exact language.
Right.
I mean,
right.
We just have to. But I would say, John, I would like all that stuff about the residents and the building permits, and I would take that out, quite frankly.
That's more.
I think the goal of the 10% is, you know, if we can have language to that regard.
Do we?
I think at the end of this, let's go through, and then I think at the end we'll have to find out how we're going to work this out and to submit. Okay, wastewater treatment design flows. And this was the added section. So.
Yes. I have no comments on that one. Actually, I have no comments until the second bullet point under the emergency services part.
I agree.
So I guess in the second bullet point, there is 16th Street is missing. That was apparently an oversight by me. No, 16th Street was one of the streets we did discuss, and yeah. Well,
so that's an easy edit.
Well, we did discuss in response to Director Kelly's comments. We did discuss that there may be an issue about not being able to get through because of the tanks, but we wanted to include it in that list if they could. Then I would have, to clarify that concern in that last paragraph there, I think we could make a simple change there that says if these measures are implemented as part of the construction of the collection system, there should be no additional cost. And then the next sentence should read, to assure that there are no additional costs for the property owners, blah, 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 blah. Just leave it like that.
Why not a period after maintenance fees? Prior and just leave out prior to any of these costs being charged to the wastewater project.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, you just don't even suggest
right.
that they might
give
be.
Them the option.
I mean, SRF isn't going to loan you money for that kind of thing anyway, right. So that would directly be charged to our pockets.
Yeah, so I think we just put no and say no additional and then delete everything from prior to the end of the paragraph.
I like that.
Yeah, let's go on to the summary.
Oh, I'm fine with the summary. I mean, I have all kinds of things I'd love to add to this letter about collection systems and shortlisting contractors and design build processes gone awry and that sort of thing. But I suppose we'll have to address those individually.
I appreciate your consideration.
You know, there was a comment from the public on our letter to the DEIR, and I went back and I looked at in the EIR, which has a response to our comments. And, you know, one of them really stands out in response to comment A310 of ours regarding
options. I think that we can work it out over there.
Thanks.
We can all take time.
So we'll take a 10-minute break. It's 8:10 to 8:20-ish. Thanks. Reconvene, and Vice President Hilsky, are you going to go ahead and read through
the... In our short recess, I think that Mr. Cooney and Mr. Seitz and myself came up with a final draft that hopefully we can agree on or make some minor modifications to. The first change would be in the introduction paragraph, paragraph 1. We would delete everything after the word Los Osos, so there'd be a period... There'd be a period after Los Osos, and we'd delete the part about degradation of the resources. In affordability, at the end of the any condition sentence, we would make that read, any condition and mitigation measures must be specific to impacts created by the project. The cost of any feature above the minimum requirements of the Regional Water Quality Control Board should be borne by all users of the groundwater basin. Then on sustainability.
Just a second. And the last sentence is still there, the wastewater project.
Yes.
Was not. Okay.
Yes. Sustainability, we would add after district is concerned about any potential removal of water from the groundwater basin, we would add the following sentence. Return of treated wastewater to the groundwater compartment must take priority. After the initial startup period of the wastewater treatment facility, water dedicated to agriculture and environmental mitigation shall not exceed 10% for each category. Period. Then start a new paragraph, and that sentence would read, tertiary treatment will help the district and other water purveyors in the community by returning sufficient treated wastewater to the basin to recharge the basin for a variety of beneficial uses and innovative disposal opportunities such as urban ag exchange, in lieu, or purple pipe programs.
Should we replace the term wastewater with effluent?
Treated effluent?
Yeah.
Yeah. We can do that. Can I borrow your pen? And then we would add 16th Street on the second bullet point on emergency services. And the last paragraph under emergency services would read, if these measures are implemented as part of the construction of the collection system, there should be no additional cost to assure that there are no additional costs for the property owners, and then terminate that sentence after the word maintenance fees. And that would take care of, I think, what we saw as the comments from the board.
Can you reread under sustainability that sentence that ended with shall not exceed 10% of any category? Can you read that one?
Return of treated wastewater. I guess we want to say treated effluent, though. Return of treated effluent to the groundwater compartment must take priority. After the initial startup period of the wastewater treatment facility, water dedicated to agricultural and environmental mitigation shall not exceed 10% for each category.
10% of what?
The total project return.
So it's at the total project return.
Correct. You want to say 10% of the total project return?
No.
Yeah, treated effluent.
I guess, Mr. Seitz.
Treated effluent. Yeah, treated effluent.
I guess here's where I was going, Mr. Seitz. I mean, I look at the project as designed initially as it's got a fixed amount going to Broderson. So, but that would be included as part of that 10%, as opposed to 10% of subtracting out the Broderson commitment.
No,
The way I would interpret it, if the wastewater treatment plant produced 100 gallons of treated effluent, we don't care where it goes, 10 acre feet would be the limit on what could be dedicated to either ag or environmental concerns. And those ag environmental concerns that overlie the groundwater basin would have first priority. Right?
I'm unclear as to the agricultural mitigation.
I can tell you I'm not crystal clear, but I know that the position that some ag, and I don't know where these letters are coming from or where the county is getting this, but that we are, the project will be removing prime ag land from production. And so this, to mitigate the removal of prime ag land, the project in turn will be mitigated by returning treated effluent to ag.
I see it the opposite way, that we're taking it out of production, therefore there's no draw in that aquifer that's being used by the neighboring ag concerns. So, you know, it's a benefit to them. They have more sustainability.
I don't think you should focus on the water. It's the production, the land you need to keep in production. Right. And so a certain amount of the effluent has to be dedicated to keep land in production, is kind of what the Coastal Commission is going to be saying. And so what we want to say is no more than 10% of this water has to be used just to keep land in production, and hopefully it'll be within our basin, right. and maybe we'll even have in lieu with that farmer.
Right. Yeah, Chuck, what you're saying is exactly what we're trying to get at here. We're trying to minimize the amount of water that the Coastal Commission takes to mitigate production of ag, and say that even if you do put a percent figure or a water figure on there, it has to have priority to come back into the basin. We're not putting a restriction on the amount of water can be used for ag in the basin. We're just saying outside the maximum is 10.
I guess I have to read what their logic really is, because I see a plant sitting out there as not neither using water nor exporting the water from that aquifer. And so if it's not in production, it's not using water. So even if you return water to ag, the water's still available there. It has to be cultivated.
Well, we're not saying. I mean, we're just saying this is the maximum. We're asking the Coastal Commission not to do any more. I mean, we can't control what they say. So we're just saying this is the maximum that you should allocate to any agricultural mitigations. Putting a limit on what they can do is what we're asking.
Yeah. Okay.
So with that, I'd move that we adopt the letter as I just read, I guess. I guess we're going to authorize the general manager to sign and send the letter. Is that correctly what we're doing here?
And I guess this is going to the Planning Commission. Do we also want to, I guess I'd ask the maker of the motion, do we want to amend it to also send this to the Coastal Commission as well as other agencies?
I think what Director Kelly suggested is the proper thing, that we wait to see what comes out of the Planning Commission, and then we alter the letter to address concerns at that time rather than doing it at this time.
To each agency, not just Coastal.
I mean, we're going to have to deal with Regional Water, Fish and Wildlife.
But there will be opportunities to comment to the Coastal Commission when the project is appealed through the Board of Supervisors to the Coastal Commission.
Right.
Plenty of opportunities.
I'll second the motion.
Vice President Ohilski. I'm doing roll call.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
Yes.
Director Kelly.
Yes.
Director Sennett.
Yes.
Director Sasanian.
Yes.
President Sparks.
Yes. Okay, action item B. Pardon me. Discussion of a target date and model selection for the strategic planning session. And so I guess I'd like to start with both staff and then and or our ad hoc committee, Director Mitch or Director Kelly, do you want to give a brief report before we start?
Starting around beginning of February, we started talking about putting together a strategic planning session. The president appointed an ad hoc committee of Director Kelly and Vice President Ohilski to search out a methodology and a moderator for this process. And tonight we're going to get a little update as to where we are going along on this.
So we had the initial information that I brought to you. I did meet with the local, or the person locally who's been helping me walk through this and take a look at this. To break down what I suggested we do, where we look at all the previous strategic planning and explore some of that information I gave you. And we could do it in 3 hours if we were really prepared, no more than four. And then the second portion of that would be done in the public forum, and schedule set aside at least 2 hours, a minimum of 2 hours, maybe even a maximum. And that's where we would present with the public some of the discussion and agreements that we came on, and then hone that vision and mission statement about the direction that we see the district going. That's just the first step that we could accomplish. The next step of the actual whole strategic planning of how every department and all that fits in, we can spend as much or as little time on that. What I'm finding is this really isn't playing into any budget setting or any type of any really being of any assistance to us in the short term, which initially I thought that it would. Because we aren't clear on what we're doing as a district as far as that vision and mission statement and what's driving us in our services that we provide. So that has been the feedback that I've gotten in the discussion. We don't have to go that route, but that's been what's recommended that we do. On top of that, the request is that this is a pretty intensive project for a facilitator, and that there should be some amount budgeted to pay for their services to help walk us through this. We can work locally when we move towards the strategic planning. A facilitator could train folks within the community, help the groups and committees go through all our prioritization and things of that nature. But just to get through this first phase, it was recommended that we delineate some budgeted amount for that. Any questions at this point?
Director Sennett.
I was wondering if you have investigated any potential resources for a facilitator, you know, I was thinking of one, even the League of Women Voters, possibly someone there.
I mean, that's a possibility. We want someone who understands nonprofits and corporations and structures for sure. But that's possible that it's not going to be complicated. We just need someone who's willing to help us organize this and take on that responsibility. It's just not something that one of us should be doing. It's not that we can't do it. But we really shouldn't. We need help for someone else to be the objective who can help us organize all these issues. But I could explore that.
If I could make a suggestion, what we're looking for is basically a business plan. And I would suggest that you can either utilize the School of Business at Cal Poly or the School of Engineering, Industrial Engineering at Cal Poly. And I've been through these sessions before with a couple of people who have done these, one from the School of Communications, and they're very effective. And basically, you're putting together your business plan for your organization, and these people as Director Kelly said, there needs to be a little budget, because what they're going to do is they're going to sit down with each director, each member of the senior staff, and interview these people, get a feel of what these people think of the district individually, and then this person is going to ferret out collectively what the board of directors wants the district to look like, what the business plan for this district is going to be.
Director Sennett.
I've seen some of these exercises come from usually from management, of course, and they take on a life of their own. Sometimes they solicit input from the bottom up, and sometimes they say, "Give us your comments, and we'll decipher them and set priorities." And they can take on many, many different avenues of, you know, how we approach this. But typically, the ones I've participated in draw heavily from the employees.
And from the previous information that I, my personal opinion is that I think that we are a community services district. So initially, we can come up with some of that initial structure, like Mitch states, but I think in the long-term planning, I would like to see an increase in stakeholder participation and utilize our committees and get feedback as we evaluate a minimum, I would say, of 6 months to a year, probably more likely a year is my. And there are some people that I have in mind, but I'm totally open to. I need help. I need some direction. And if we need to go with a business model and someone can assist us with that, I'm open to that.
I'm trying to get some clarification on the direction, because you brought up the three-step meeting, and I really appreciate the models that were provided, because I looked in terms of where we're at. And so you're not here today looking for us to – you weren't – to discuss the models. And
no.
When does the model selection come into play?
What we would do is the models were given just for examples. Those are just some examples of how those processes happen. What we need is to find someone who would actually pull and produce the best process for us. They may not follow one of those models specifically. They may, talk to Chuck and find he's more, of an organic type of planner and be able to incorporate that. And so we would find someone who could basically develop the process. Those models were shown as variations of how things can operate or how these processes can happen, but those were more guides, not absolutes. So what I am looking for today is, coming up with a date May, June, the support for seeking an outside facilitator and funding for that facilitation, for that facilitator, is what I'm looking for right now.
What we'd be looking for is as far as the models go, Director Kelly hit on it pretty well, and that is that the person brings with them their own approach to this. And so it's in the selection of the person that you're going to get the model you're going to be using.
And the person that I was going to pursue is a much more visual, inclusive type of, different people do it different ways with the similar results. So we need to find someone who's going to work well with all of our different types of, engineers mixed with attorney mixed with, our personalities and the way we communicate. So that does come into play to get a really effective strategic, just the basis in place.
Comments. I'm sorry, if there's no other comments at this point, I guess I'd like to go ahead and receive public comment on this item and then we'll bring it back.
Leon Golden again. You're not a nonprofit. You're a governmental agency.
your elected officials who are responsible to the voters. And I think you're getting this thing slightly backwards in what I've heard so far. You're looking for a business plan. As a matter of fact, maybe you should be looking to see where the dust is going to settle in this community before you go out spending time making the perfect plan as to how to run this district. Well, it don't work that way because things change. And if you've lived here long enough, you know that they change with some frequency. $10,000 could be spent maybe helping somebody who can't afford to hook up to this super sewer we're going to get, maybe. And unfortunately, see, I bring to this, like everyone else, some baggage. I attended one of these things once as a member of the Board of Governors of the State Bar of California. And they were looking for a business plan also. What they didn't look for is what the lawyers of the state wanted. And what you need to look for, first of all, is what does the community want? That's where you should start. And you don't look for a facilitator who knows nothing about this community. You need to have somebody who knows something about this community come in and provide some leadership. You need to reach out. And what, unfortunately, when the suggestion of getting somebody from Cal Poly comes on, in fact, someone whispered to me, maybe you should hire a graduate student. They could do a paper on it for a lot less than it's going to cost to spend the thing in the, as outlined, at least till now. Think about this. Your first thing should be to reach out to the...
Alon Perlman, Los Osos. I've been to several types of these organizational... I'll refer to it as if it were a team-building exercise. It's not going to be that. But you are a politically diverse group. You're individually diverse, which is a good thing. And you're in a county... We've got an unprecedented level of jurisdictional issues, which is unprecedented to pretty much any CSD in California, and yet it is at the same time the same problem others are dealing with. The agencies which are going to completely affect the lives of everybody in Los Osos due to the construction of the sewer, the impacts that will have on the environment, on businesses, road closures, etc. You need to become the best team that you can be. And sometimes these meetings, these organizational meetings, work extremely well, and sometimes people leave them thinking it's a big waste of time. But what you owe this community is to be able to enter this uncertain future as cohesively as possible. And as a member of Los Osos Community Advisory Council, we meet, although we don't have the powers, we don't have the effects you do, when we meet, we're in some cases meeting for the first time on the issue. We're bound by we bind ourselves by the Brown Act. There's not a problem with if we kind of stray, but which we don't. But you are very much bound by the Brown Act. So the more time you can spend on together as a team, building yourself as a team, in an arena where you're not necessarily held to the Brown Act, the more I think you'll be able to meet these future challenges, some of which we have no idea what they are to be. As I say, the government organizations that are affecting everybody's life are dealing with new environmental laws. And in fact, the LID issues, for example, these are very unprecedented situations. So I think you should be able to take a risk, engage in hopefully a very, at the least cost. It's an exercise in leadership, really. If you can get an exercise of leadership out of this, then you'd have served the community. And the risk is that it may not be all that effective, but I think you should take that risk. So I've been on various team-building situations. Like I say, it doesn't always work. You get out of it more than what you put into it if you commit to putting into it. Good luck.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Richard Margetson, just a brief comment and question. Due to the budget constraints we're under now, $10,000 is still $10,000. Isn't this something that could be accomplished, since this is a CSD with very limited control of departments in this community? I mean, you're not in control of a health department. You're not in control of a planning department. You know, you're a water department. You're a fire department that's under contract. You're contracted for solid waste. Isn't this something that could be accomplished with the five of you, Mr. Cooney in the room, maybe Rob Miller, Phil Benares, and possibly the district accountant, and hammer this out in an afternoon and maybe do it annually? I'll leave it at that.
Thank you for your comments. Any additional speakers? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and bring it back to the board. Director Kelly?
I agree with Mr. Margetson, and this is something that you do have to review annually once you have your strategic plan in place. You, as an operating board, you really should review it annually on a regular basis, and you could do it with just what his suggestion is. But I would like to touch upon what Alon says. This is absolutely an exercise in leadership. We all bring something different to the table, and somehow we have to be able to communicate cohesively and effectively with each other and with the community. But we also have to define what the message is that we're trying to communicate. And you need to establish a very clear vision and mission statement that you're operating under. And it helps with the long-range planning for the quality of the services. It helps you organize your capital improvement projects. It gives direction to the various departments. This is not an exercise in futility. It is actually the way organizations operate that want to be effective.
More complicated than that. In terms of goals and visions changing after elections, we've had special circumstances lately. As I start looking through scenario planning and that kind of thing, I think, gee, maybe we should be mapping out a future with and without a wastewater treatment project in our future, but that can wait a couple years. Maybe right now we do need to sit down and spend an afternoon with our accountant and our general manager and just go over the existing goals and see if there's places we're falling down and not meeting those. The water infrastructure has been a big part of what we've been doing. Are we delivering the fire services, and where do those committees think we're falling short? And maybe we don't need a facilitator just to make us take a step back and say, where are we falling short on that simple statement of efficient delivery of services? And maybe we should start there first.
That's fine. If that's where we want to start and we really do our homework, we can do that, and then we can take the next step and determine what the longer planning is that we want to do. That I'm open to that and am happy to help try to pull that together.
Let's just try and pick a really windy, nasty weather day on the weekend to do this, not a sunny day.
But we might lose power, so. I do support trying to do what Director Kelly's envisioning. And in regard to the comment about facilitators, I actually like a facilitator outside the community. As much as it's good, to have someone in the community do it, there is an advantage to have someone who does not see it with any. I don't think you can live in this community and not have a prejudice. So I think to have a facilitator that's, for lack of a, dispassionate is maybe is the word, they listen without making conclusions, and I think they can lead you through these types of processes. And I think we're all I know what we'll all be choking on as we hear $10,000, and I know, you know, I choked on that and didn't want to approve a water rate study for a different firm because of $10,000. So I have a, that's where I'm having a difficulty getting a grasp. And I agree with Director Sasena. I really like these. I know it's jumping ahead. I really like these models that were in here. And I looked at it and I go, yeah, we're I believe we're at either alignment or and scenario planning, because right now at this moment we have to get aligned. And then we got these scenarios, having a wastewater treatment plant, not having it, having the county accept the project, which we all think is going to happen, versus not. I mean, there's a number of scenarios that as a board we really should be looking at, because you always want to prepare for any possibility. So, and so where do we go from here? And I mean, I do like the idea of, and I do like the idea of getting, you know, staff, Mr. Cooney, Ampey, and the board, and, you know, maybe going through some scenarios, and, you know, maybe there's a facilitator we can bring in for a, you know, a Saturday, and do some of these, you know, do some of these things, and maybe, you know, what's the worst that happens? You know, maybe we fail initially and we don't commit a lot of money, and
we can go out and, I mean, there's people I can call and say, we have $1,000, this is what we want you to do. And they can sit, they'll laugh at us and say, there's no way I'm doing that for $1,000. They may say, great, I'd be happy to help you out, this is what I could do. I mean, we don't need to commit to, you know, we can say, just if we have something that we could offer some of these people, if we want to just go with a facilitator, if we want to
offer them our gratitude.
Besides food and whatever, but I think if we can come up with something, then it gives us something to work with when I call, because we have a lot of really quality options out there. And I was told recently, you know, it's just not a market. There's more buy-in if it's a service you have to pay for. You know, there's more. You're more committed to it, and I think we'll get a better product. So if we say we only have $1,000 or $2,000, then that's what we go out there with and say, this is what we've got, and this is what we're looking for. And I would agree, we could do incorporate versus just having the board. We could see if bring Mitch and Ampey in. I think that would be great, because then we could have all the different questions answered, and we could delve a little bit further into where we are at this point. If we as a board can commit to reviewing our previous strategic planning and see where it works and where it has worked, where it's not working, and be prepared to really work hard in that first 3 or 4 hours, I think we could get a lot accomplished.
I would agree that we need to have a preliminary meeting before we need to see where we are. And there are a lot of things that we need to do. One of the key things I see is look at the rate study and determine where are we there.
Commit to working with me on that, to develop that, if you're comfortable doing that, Mitch.
Sure.
How soon do you think that could happen?
Can y'all look at your calendars? I would like at least a month. The 23rd of May would be the soonest. Never mind, I'm out of town. That would be perfect.
Oh, I wouldn't have let you schedule it for that weekend.
Sorry, I forgot about that. It would be the first weekend in June. We're moving out to June.
And that would be where?
We could do it in the CSD office. Would be fine.
Okay. Is this going to be a public meeting?
It has to be. It has to be with five people. Yeah.
Oh.
It has to be a public meeting.
Well, so could we? No, you can do it. You run it like a closed. You can't do a closed session for planning.
It would be a public meeting.
Okay.
We could do it in the district office.
Yeah.
I mean, we could also do it at the fire station. I mean, the district office, I don't know how many members of the public, but if we had 20 members, that might make it a little bit. So, I mean, the fire station is also an option. It gives us a little bit more room.
If they have it available.
Well, sounds like a plan.
Well, just pick the day. I mean, as far as, you know, finding a venue, that's not a, you know,
yeah, so if we can shoot for that first Saturday in June.
That works.
Okay, so my understanding is that Mitch and I will work together on establishing an agenda. There will be information being sent out asking you to look at the previous strategic plans from past. By that point, I think some of the committees will have gone through some prioritization. I was planning on agendizing some prioritization and revisiting some capital improvement projects. We can bring that information. I think the Emergency Services Committee is doing some of that, and hopefully Marshall will be able to bring that. So we could actually really dive in and start taking a look at this and decide what our next step is.
So I don't think we need a motion on that. It's just we have more direction to go.
Right. Yeah, we're fine.
And I think it's the ad hoc. I mean, it's the ad hoc committee and Mr. Cooney.
Right, and yeah, I was going to make a suggestion relative to the ad hoc committee. I think if Steve seems to have a lot of experience in this field, I think he might be a more appropriate member for this ad hoc committee than myself. So if Steve was interested in serving,
I do have a lot of experience, but you have to ask if it's been successful.
I still think your experience would be useful, so I'd be willing to step down to let Steve take my place.
I'll accept the challenge.
So as president, I hereby demote Vice President Ohilski from the Ad Hoc Strategic Planning Committee and appoint Director Senate into the Ad Hoc Committee.
Thank you, Steve.
Committee. Okay, the next The consent calendar, items B, C, D, E,
did you want
and
to
F.
do committee reports?
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. I did jump ahead. Receive committee reports first. Are there any committee reports?
The Emergency Services Committee met, but we will bring that at the regular meeting next month.
Yeah, we'll be bringing our committee reports to the regular meetings. I will.
Just for the public's benefit, though, the Emergency Services meeting was rescheduled for April 30th because of scheduling conflicts with fire department. Now they're scheduling conflicts with our general manager, so that date may not hold, but we'll try to get this squared away. We had originally proposed to do it on the 29th, and fire department personnel couldn't make it, so they moved it to the 30th, unfortunately. So the general manager can't make it. So those of you listening or wanting to know about emergency services, that meeting has been rescheduled from the 22nd, but I'm not sure to what date at this point.
Page 6 of the engineer's report, there's a mistaken number there. There's a $17,765 of projected revenue that was taken from the 2008-2009 budget. That's an incorrect number. That $17,765 includes the fire and the drainage for Cabrillo. So that number should just be stricken, and the total revenue for the Cabrillo is $1,700. Also on item E, on item C also, Director Senate brought into the district office some modifications to the notice of public hearing and assessment ballot proceedings. We forwarded this to the district legal counsel, and he has redlined some of these, and he may want to discuss some of these changes. And also on item E, the recommendation is just to approve the placement of a drop box in the district office by Mission Country Disposal. The staff recommendation is written in the agenda is incorrect.
Did I go too fast? Or?
No. No. Did you want to make your comments now, Mr. Seitz?
Well, if I'm going to make comments, I think maybe we should pull that item.
Okay. So this would be pulling consent agenda item C, the staff report on Cabrillo 218 vote from the district engineer. So that'll go ahead and be pulled.
I'd like to pull F just for a quick discussion.
Okay, so items C and F will be pulled. Any other consent items? Okay, with that, we will take...
could we do a short discussion? I don't want to pull an item, but I just have a question on one of the items.
Yeah.
Should I do that later? Or
I'd go ahead now.
No, on measure, or pardon me, on item E, the Dropbox?
Yes. The staff report has a wrong recommendation. The actual recommendation should be to place a
I understand that part I got.
Oh.
It's a recommendation for the previous item, the MOU item. But I just wanted to confirm the fact that all we're doing is providing a box and no services whatsoever.
No services. The box will be locked. The Mission Country people will pick up somebody comes in who pays their bill in person, their water bill or utility bill in person, and they want to drop off their disposal bill, their garbage bill. There's the box.
Okay,
over
but
there.
We're not handling the money
no,
or anything.
No.
Okay, that's all. I just wanted to confirm that.
I think I'd like to make a comment on behalf of Jan Harper, and in that box include bill payment and comments, so that Jan doesn't become the recipient of all the comments and issues that the solid waste people have.
Okay, good point.
Okay, with that, we'll go ahead and take public comment on the committee reports and consent items B, the minutes, D, the request for joint funding, grant funding mechanism of understanding with the County of San Luis Obispo, E, authorizing the Dropbox for Mission Country disposal. So any public comment on those items? Going once, going twice, seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board.
I'd like to make a motion then that we approve consent items A, B, C, and E.
A, B, D.
Pardon me, A, B, D, and E.
I second.
Vice President Ohilsky.
Yes.
Director Sennett.
Yes.
Director Sesania.
Yes.
Director Kelly.
Yes.
President Sparks.
Yes. Okay, next item. The consent item C, the staff report on Cabrillo, the 218 assessment, and to adopt the resolution that direct the district engineer to proceed with the Cabrillo 218 vote. Mr. Okay. Seitz or Mr. Cooney.
Just for the board's information, there is a copy of this placed at each one of your places at the dais, and there are some copies in the back.
Yeah, and the other comment that I wanted to make before we get going, the only thing that you have in front of you is to preliminarily approve the assessment engineer's report. What staff included in the agenda packet itself was miscellaneous assessment procedures in the form of the notice to property owners and the assessment ballot. You're not here to approve those in any way, shape, or form. They were just there for an informational item. And we were fortunate to have Steve, our Director Sennett, go through and make some modifications. Shall not impose the assessment upon the properties within the Cabrillo Estates, but may consider the following actions. First dot, continue to annually levy charges that are equal or less than the current charges and reduce street lighting services, or discontinue the current charge and forego street lighting services within the Cabrillo Estates. So I'm hoping that address your issue about providing notice. The other thing that we didn't put in here that Steve asked about, or I should say Director Sennett asked about, and that is whether or not these ballots are secret. And the reason why I didn't want to put stuff in there is because it's long. It's a long-winded answer, and anytime you start writing paragraphs on a document like this, I just knew I was going to confuse people. But here's the rule. The ballots will be remained sealed, and they will be secret ballots up until the time that they are opened to tabulate the ballots. Once the envelopes are unsealed and the ballots are removed, those ballots become public records. By whom? By
who's going to open
it? The way this reads right now, it would be the secretary to the board, which is our general manager, or his or her designee. What I would anticipate that what we would see is probably four or five people up there at the dais, because we're going to do this all on the same night, and
right here,
and so that you could, everybody's going to see it go on. And the reason why we can do it this way is there's 217 more or less property owners. So, you know, we felt as staff that would be something that we could handle on the same night. So that instead of adjourning and having the ballots counted, we would count them that night, and so everybody could see what was going on and see how the assessment balloting went. So that's my report. But really what's before you is only the motion to approve the assessment engineer's report. The resolution preliminarily approving the engineer's report.
Vice President Hilsky.
Yes, I have a question on the language that you added in response to Director Sennett's comments on page 4.
Yes.
I'm concerned that where you say, but may consider the following actions, that you're precluding other actions by the board. So okay. I think the language needs to be modified to say that those are among the actions that we may consider.
It says, but may consider. It doesn't say, we could say, may consider, but may well not be limited to.
You could read that as these are the only options that we may consider.
Yeah, that's my concern, is they see there's three options, approve it or one of these two, when in fact there may be other options.
How about if I say, but may consider the following actions among others?
Any idea what the other actions would be?
Allow them to succeed.
We could go out and get the solar lights.
For all practical purposes, we could decide to continue the lighting at the current services, and that's not an option identified here.
Okay, thank you. And yeah, thank you, Director Sennett, for providing that information. And so we'll go ahead and take public comment on consent item C on the Cabrillo 218 vote and proceeding or directing the district engineer to proceed.
This is really not a comment. It is a question with regard to the secrecy of the ballot. Within the last month, a case from, I believe, an appellate court came down. I don't know which section of 218, because it's the world's worst initiative as fixed by the state legislature. So I haven't a clue how it applies, but the bottom line on it was that, yes, you better keep the names confidential, and I don't know whether that applies in this case or not, but I assume, Mr. Seitz, that your comments about the secrecy of the ballot took into consideration that case.
David.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Seitz.
Just make a quick response. There was a recent case that came down on...
Time's up, Mr. Seitz. You've been too wordy, so we're going to have to limit you.
But doesn't that mean someone would have to submit a public records request to get that information?
Right.
It's not like we're going to be sitting here reading
no,
which address
exactly.
voted how.
Exactly. Typically what we would do is we, and I don't know how Rob has this thing set up, but when I've done this before, there's a chart with the APN numbers, and somebody goes through, reads off the APN numbers, and reads off a yes or no, and we don't go through and disclose names. But subject to that, after that, people can make public records requests, which we well know because of all the other assessment districts we've had. There's always been multiple public records requests that come after it.
Thank you. Any additional public comment?
Richard Margetson, this notice of public hearing and assessment ballot procedures, does this have to be absolutely correct when it goes out as to costs and wording of?
Well, I don't know that it has to be absolutely to the nearest dime, but I think it has to represent a good faith effort to be accurate.
Okay.
Because it does set ultimately, the one figure in there that is the ultimate figure is the maximum assessment per parcel. Because that, you can't change that once it's,
okay,
once the ballots are.
So as long as that's correct, we're okay with.
Well,
background information is, if it's slightly incorrect, is okay? Because I'm going back.
If you have comments on the background information, we'd love to hear it.
Well, just it's this one I brought up last meeting. In a paragraph under reasons for assessment district assessments, it says the total charges collected within the Cabrillo Estates equates to $1,736 per year. If you divide that by 8, that comes up with 217 parcels. But the assessment is only on 215 parcels. Because there's two parcels that the district cannot collect on. And Karen's shaking her head yes. I just wanted to know if that has to be accurate.
Well, yeah, now that you bring it up, we would hope to give accurate information to
them. Okay, so then that number would be 1,720. It's minor, but I didn't know how accurate it had to be.
Then we would have to divide that by...
Divide that by 8 and you get 215.
No, we know that we... Don't we, just from my own curiosity, Mitch, don't we know that we get $1,700 and...
We get $1,736.
Mm. I mean, because we have the...
If you divide that by 8, you get 217. That's 217 collections, and they only have 217 total, and two parcels you don't collect anything from. Parcel 1... Or assessment 1 and assessment 17, both for the engineering department of Slo County. In this section here, in Rob's, that he attached to the, that you have attached to the staff report. These.
It's the assessment book.
Yeah, the assessment book. Assessment 1 and assessment 17, the district doesn't collect anything for. And if you go to the last page of the assessment book, it says there's 217 assessments. If you take those two out of there, that leaves you 215. And if you divide the $11,809.96 by 215, you get the $54.93. So I did, whatever.
Okay.
You understand?
Yeah.
Clear. Okay.
This is another question for you, John. Does this list have to be correct? List of all the owners, because the very one that I pointed out to the engineer last time has not been corrected. As a matter of fact, I believe that it was this list says it was printed on Wednesday, April 8th, and that's like last week, and it was subsequent to our last meeting. So my question is, does this list have to be correct?
The list that is The list that's prepared comes from the county assessor's office, and it's
I don't know it right now, but I could provide her with the information. I can call her tomorrow morning.
Well, when we send these out, you'll see it in the ballot that you receive. It says, if you are no longer the owner of the property, please call the general manager ASAP so that we can get the assessment ballot out to the right person. That's right in the ballot itself.
That's not going to work because the address here is the address of the premises on Rodman, and they don't live there anymore. But one of them is deceased.
My guess is they haven't located that estate.
Mr. Seitz, I guess in response to the comment, do we need to change this?
No, we don't need to, but I think that we...
Well, we can inform the county if we have information.
Yes, exactly.
No, we can't change it.
We can't change the assessor's role here.
Yeah. Any additional public comment? Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board. So, Mr. Cooney, is there any other... So, we still need to approve the... to direct the district engineer to proceed is what you're asking
approve
for
tonight. Approve the resolution.
Yeah, approve
right.
The resolution. With the engineer's report as amended by the general manager.
At page 6.
Okay, one point of clarification. When you say page 6, I must be looking at the wrong page 6. Can you go over that again? I'd like it to be clear to me.
It's the preliminary engineer's report dated April 16, 2009. On page 6, it's part B, estimate of cost. The projected revenue that was taken from the 2008-2009 budget includes the fire and the drainage costs to that district. And so that number should just be stricken. The street lighting service charge or the street lighting charge is $1,736 or $1,720. So just take out the $1,765. What the district engineer did was just basically copy the budget that was presented last year, and that the number included in the Cabrillo was all of the taxes, which included the fire and the drainage, which are basically misapplied in this case.
And the street lighting service charge will be
$1,700.
So it will be $1,700.
Yeah.
Because I've heard a couple numbers,
$1,720.
Okay.
But only thing you're looking at here is just what was in last year's budget. I mean, it's not, this is just copied directly from last year's budget. It's
right.
And
if I could interject, this is the same discussion we had last meeting. So
yeah.
I think we're not going to get any further in clarifying it at this point. That's the amount that it is. So
yeah. Okay, so I'll make a motion to approve the resolution. Preliminary approving the engineer's report and setting June 18, 2009 as the date for the public hearing of protests for the Cabrillo Estates Lighting District and to direct the Administrative Secretary to initiate ballot proceedings with the amendment on page 6 of the engineer's report.
I'll second that.
President Sparks.
Yes.
Director Sesania.
Yes.
Director Sennett.
Yes.
Director Kelly.
Yes.
Vice President Ohilski.
Yes.
Mr. Cooney, I guess before we proceed on, I guess I have one comment or question to both Mr. Cooney and the board. Do you think it's advisable that we or with any other outreach other than mailing the ballots? Should we you think it's prudent that we do any other outreach to Cabrillo plan during this time? Because some people, you know, they're just going to get this in there. And
well, I think it's kind of a two-edged sword. One is that right now the district is supplementing the money for the cost. So any cost that's incurred to do additional outreach, just okay. I can go to that. That's free.
Yeah. Okay. Next item F. Is appointment of Maria Kelly, Director Kelly, to the Ad Hoc Affordability Committee. And
I pulled that for discussion just to find out a little bit more about what this is about, what we expect from the committee, and to maybe lobby to be on the committee, because a committee of one just seems wrong.
I don't want to be a committee of one.
Yeah, you kind of go in circles and balance.
I think since Chuck's volunteered, we could have a committee of two, and Steve and I would feel real good about that.
What are the expectations here? Just to make sure that we're in touch with what the county is doing, or maybe furnish them other information and avenues that they hadn't explored, and make sure that the community is being informed and brought along, because not everybody keeps up with the county meetings and what is going on. Is that kind of where you see this?
Absolutely. There's a lot of information. This is a long part of what I see this committee being able to do is identify a process and help develop a task force or another committee that helps identify the specific needs and resources and opportunities over the next 3 years. This is a long-term project. Some of the things that have been identified, and John Diodati has agreed to be the county point of contact and work directly with us on this, as far as he has a lot of access to a lot of information and resources. What I see is you and I being able to do, if you're willing to do this, initially identify this, the projects, the level of need, and help figure out a way to make contact and collect that data and information so that when the trigger comes, some of these funding opportunities for specific unlock costs have windows of opportunity. It would be a shame if we missed any of those funding options. So there, you know, whether it's through the USDA or, you know, if there's any way for CB community block development grant projects or anything, that we have the information up front now. And we can develop a database so that then we can go back and contact community members. So it's really what we would be doing is setting up that framework and hopefully getting a community-based committee to really manage that. Some of the other issues in the low-income fund at the community foundation, I've heard that we have over $100,000 in there right now, and looking at the resolution and how that funding was established, determining how that funding will be utilized. We do need to come up with a plan of how equitably to use that, whether it's the purchasing of pipe for people that are willing to do their on-lot, some of their on-lot projects themselves. So there's a lot of issues that we need to put in place that I don't want to wait another year or two or three. So and there's a couple of community members have stepped forward that would really like to work with us on this once we get that framework and we decide if it's a committee direction we want to go. And so that's kind of where some of that thinking is coming from.
Okay, good. Thank you.
And I guess, Director Kelly, and so this may be, I see this as maybe being multiple stages. This first one will come back. It doesn't have a date specific, but I'd like to come back with a date specific that you're comfortable with for, you know, with that framework. And then the next step may be, you know, reappointment and going from there.
Right. So initially, Chuck, I kind of had said to Joe that I'm thinking this is going to take at least till August. There are some community members I would like to be able to incorporate some of those initial discussions that can work with us on this and then come back with a framework and a better idea of what this could look like, how it could be of best use to the community.
I expect that it'll be just a continual evolution and reporting all the way through. I mean, it's this key element of people's concerns, and we need to make sure that the programs that are identified are noticed to the people. We don't want anyone to miss an opportunity.
Right, and so it may even a part of this committee or however this evolves is responsible for the outreach and implementing and developing what that looks like. So,
thank you. Okay, we'll go ahead and take public comment. Any public comment on this item?
Richard Margetson, clarification. When you said reappointment, bring it back for reappointment, is Chuck going to be on this from the start? He is.
Yeah, what I envision is developing the framework, and we'll get a date when we come back to the board. We'll be, Directors Kelly and Cecina, say a period of 90 days, have a framework, and they'll come back. And maybe we won't need the committee, or maybe the district will take specific action.
Guys in the department, plus himself, may come out and dig trenches. You know, on that one, I have a little concern because, you know, $150 million project, and you're going to let people do their own connection to a $150 million project that isn't signed off by a plumber or an engineer on those laterals. You know, I think is that going to be part of what's worked out by this committee? Because CDBG, you know, that's going to be controlled I don't see any point down the road that's not going to be controlled by the county unless at some point the district gets the project back. They're going to have control of making those applications. I'm just wondering where this is going to go and how many community members are going to be available or allowed to participate, because there's a lot of effort already been made on the affordability issue that I think, you know, needs to continue instead of starting from scratch and going forward. And I think the more often you meet, the better here in the initial stages.
Thank you. Additional public comment?
I want to agree with the previous speaker about the importance that this not be turned into amateur hour. This is not, as a matter of fact, this hooking up to a sewer is not a job for a CPA, although a CPA is busy running the department as far as the county is concerned. I would not be comfortable with his digging the ditch to make the hookup to the sewer. And if that's what this committee is going to get involved with, you better look for some expert advice, which, by the way, there are probably people in this marvelous community of ours who could give you some expert advice. And I hope that this will be as open a process as possible, and that this is not going to be a training ground for future members of the CSD board or present members of the CSD board. It should be a committee that's helping the folks who really need help. And there are people here who can do that. I hope you will revisit it, as you stated, Joe, and appoint a committee that is truly representative of the community and one that will go out and do some work to bring some funding in to help.
Thank you for your comments. Next speaker, please.
Good evening, and thank you for bringing this up. I think affordability, we all know, is pretty important. My concern would be, as you go forward, you make sure you get it out there in the venues. We have Channel 20. We have the bulletin boards. We have our website. I mean, we really don't use those as well as we could. Not everybody I have a lot of people that come into the office and want to know data, a sheet to give out. So, I mean, we want to really be very creative in getting the information out. I'm Jan Harper.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
My name is Gwen Taylor, and I'm getting repetitive, but I am going to say this once again. Maybe in the future I'll say it again. You have no idea how many people in this community have no access to any communication other than turning on the radio or getting a sheet of paper. They don't have any cable television. They don't have the ability to, in some instances, buy a television. Therefore, you have to understand that people have to have something in writing that they perhaps can pick up from the CSD office. The electronic communications in this community for the elderly people is nil in some instances, and you do not seem to understand that. Community is a very, very good way of getting the people together, but also the community is a community that is in a financial stress. I know people that have shut off their communications as far as the cable television, as far as communication with their telephones, and they are doing a minimal of any kind of communication that costs anything. Please understand that the economy is in the bottom of the pit, and people are trying.
The county can have access to that when they go through the process of applying for grants for this community, that they can actually quantify who, what the needs are, and have it be more specific versus this we just need. We understand that. And tapping into the opportunities that potentially may be there via the county. So, yeah, I see this as Chuck and I being able to work initially, having some community participation, and ultimately this becoming a standing committee on its own and being community-driven. That I would see as being the most effective way, because that's the only way we are going to be able to communicate with everybody. It can't just come from us. It's going to need to come from within. So that's to develop this framework so that we can communicate effectively with as many people as possible. So,
and certainly my interest is continuing the information that's already been gathered. There's no need to reinvent. I mean, obviously, there's been a lot of effort put into this. I've got stacks of stuff at home that I haven't even read through all the way yet, but I will be now. One more item. I have no problem with a CPA handling a shovel, digging a ditch. We will not let them cut, glue, or lay grade for pipe.
Thank you. Yeah, I'll just point out, in the staff report was the affordability resolution, and the last item was, it's the policy of this board that we're urging the County of San Luis Obispo to create, enable, and support a Los Osos Financial Task Force or similar entity to assist low-income residents. And so after this initial framework, that may, the result may be a recommendation in working with the county to create that. And the key item is that there's, you know, succinct communications for people that, you know, for people to contact as well. So, you know, so with that, I'm going to go ahead and appoint Directors Kelly and Director Sennett to. I'm sorry. Director Cicena to the Ad Hoc Committee on Affordability, and to come back with a framework and recommendations within 90 days. Is that?
Sure.
Okay, thanks. And with that, we'll have director comments. We're not going to go back into closed session.
No, we are not.
What time is it? We've got 5 minutes.
Any director comments?
Yes. I have a question. It just seems to me that we have a closed session scheduled for 5:20, or pardon me, a special session scheduled for 5:21. Which is the Thursday before Memorial Day. It seems to me that we're getting pretty much caught up on our backlog of meetings, and that we may be able to not have the meeting on Thursday the 21st. Regardless, I won't be there, but I don't see the necessity of having that meeting, quite frankly.
It's so kind of you to think of us.
I am.
Yeah, I'd like to keep that date for now, simply because our general manager is not going to be here at the first meeting in May, so I'd like to keep that open for the timing. But if we can avoid that meeting, I agree. Any other director comments?
I guess the only other comment is that everybody's aware of the fact that the Planning Commission will be having their hearings on the 23rd, apparently at 8:45 in the morning, on the Los Osos Wastewater Project. And if they don't complete deliberations on the 23rd, they also have April 30th reserved for the same item. So I think we should encourage anybody that has input on that process or project to attend the Planning Commission hearing or submit written comments or do both.
Good point. Director Kelly.
I'd like to thank the Baywood Elementary's third grade for the artwork in the lobby of the CSD office. It's very entertaining, very cute. So a thank you to the third graders at Baywood Elementary. They've just completed, a while back, completed their water conservation, water quality session. So anyway, maybe we could send them a letter, or if anybody wants to stop by and take a look at the artwork, it's darn entertaining. Thank you.
Director Cecina.
I would like to just reiterate what Marshall said, that Planning Commission meeting on the 23rd at 8:45 in the morning. The staff report is out on the Los Osos Wastewater Project portion of the county's Public Works website. The staff report is 350 pages long, something like that. There are elevation drawings of the administration buildings and everything right there. Somebody's put a lot of work into a project that doesn't even have a final EIR. And that's one of the things that the Planning Commission will be considering, is the finalization of the EIR and the coastal development permit. They're running concurrently, and these are the first of the finalization steps. Thank you.
Director Santa?
Well, I'd just like to thank everybody for coming tonight and say conserve water. It's very important. The CSD has conservation kits available, and these are very high-quality devices for showers, and I'd like you to take advantage of them. Thank you. And good night.
And last item is the American Association of University Women Garden Tour, I believe on April 26th. Tickets, I think, you can get at Miners and Volumes of Pleasure. This is used to fund scholarships for youth scholarships, and so it's a very good cause. And with that, we're adjourned.
We got to go back to the